Here in 1 Peter, we've been looking at the subject of, that's mentioned a number of times in 1 Peter, is suffering. And I'll be dealing with today, continuing along the lines of suffering and who we are. The encouragement that Peter brings to these saints of God, these disciples of the Lord, concerning an encouragement on as they're going through suffering, as they're going through the troubles that the Lord has for them at this particular time. He would encourage them, and in encouraging them, first of all, in the first chapter, it seems that largely he's encouraging them with reminding them who they are. One of the things he reminded them about was they were chosen. They were begotten to a lively hope. They were begotten to an inheritance. They're a people of joy. They're New Testament saints. We looked at last week, having a particular favor as New Testament saints over Old Testament saints. And then today we read verses 13 through 20. And one of the verses that's a very familiar verse of Scripture is found here in verse number 18, 1 Peter 1:18. And I'll read it: "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." And speaks about our redemption here and the fact that we are that as those who are the Lord's people, and as we may be going through suffering, and as in this life we will have different times in which that we are suffering, and but to remember that we are the redeemed, to remember that we are the redeemed as God's children. The Lord's redeemed us. We've been redeemed to God as his children. And that aspect of it, of redemption, is mentioned here, and it's mentioned elsewhere as well. So I want to think about that. So not only think about the fact that we're redeemed, but that we're redeemed and we're children, the Lord's children. Look with me there. Let's begin reading verse number 13. He says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." And think about redemption as God's children here. And before we go further, let's ask the Lord's blessings. Oh God, we need your help. We need your grace today. We need your strength. We need voice. We need, Lord, the ability to convey what we're thinking. And we just pray for your blessings. We pray that you'd bless the word of God, that it might have bring forth abundantly, Lord, in your people. And your will be done in each of our lives, Lord. Pray for, Lord, for those that are going through suffering and going through troubles right now, that you might encourage and help us to be an encouragement one to another, and strengthen us, Lord, in our resolve to serve you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So look at this passage. Verse 13, we begin, he says, gird up. So because that we are New Testament saints and that we have advantages, the advantages of New Testament saints that we looked at last week, we concluded last week by saying, gird up the loins of your mind. But let's move forward here. He says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Wherefore, as in therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober, serious, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, just going to be going through this verse by verse today, but looking at verse number 13, God can give grace to relieve you of your affliction. Now, whatever that is, whatever your trouble is, God is able to deliver us from that trouble. But this verse of scripture is saying to us something a little bit that's aside from that. And it may be that Peter's saying this the way he's saying it because that the saints of God that he's dealing with were going to have to go through more suffering. And he knew that. He didn't know when it would end. It's in the Lord's hands. And so what he says, though, in verse number 13 is, so gird up the loins of your mind. In other words, you may have to deal with this for a while, is what he's kind of saying. Be sober, serious, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So right now, hope, and hope all the way to the end, for the grace that's to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is he talking about there? Well, there's going to be relief, ultimately, relief completely from the sorrows and from the difficulties and the trials of this life. One of these days, we're going to be delivered from all of them. And so in verse 13, he's reminding them of that. He's reminding them, look, gird up the loins of your mind and realize that it may be a long road. Some of them may have been very young as well at this time. It may be a long road. But there is certainty that they will, in fact, be relieved. The grace of God will relieve them at the end, and that they will no longer have this problem, the difficulties, the trials, the persecutions that they were enduring at this time. And so he's saying, so gird up the loins of your mind and hope to the end for the grace that's to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he calls their focus off of the specific time right then, that maybe it's not the Lord's will for them to be delivered by his grace right then from their affliction or from their suffering that they're going through. So realize that that's in the Lord's hands, but hope to the end for the grace that's to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ when the Lord comes. Verse 14, he says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Okay. Obedient children. Children, when they come out of the womb, the scripture says they come out speaking lies. They're just as precious as they can be. They're as cute as they can be. But they can manipulate you. You know that. I mean, we know that, and I'm a willing person. I'm willing to be manipulated. Have no problem with that at all. I've sold out. But the fact, though, is that they can lie. They can, if they feel like, okay, whining a little bit is going to get me more attention, then they'll probably do it. You know, they'll probably make you think. We were at the soccer game, and one of the things that we saw at the soccer game was there seemed to be, it's hard for me to judge people's hearts, but it seemed like that there was a lot of, do you remember sorry to interrupt here, but brother, do you remember on the Golden State Warriors, there's one fella that is always acting like the referees have given him a bad shot. Is that Green or who's the, Green, okay. Damon Green, yeah. So he's just constantly complaining to the refs about everything. And he never, it's like nothing's ever his fault. He's never committed a foul. He's never done anything wrong. And that it's all the referees' fault, that they're So he just complains. We saw that at the soccer game. Is it seemed like a lot of people were taking a fall. You know, they went several times. You know, went down on, you know, grabbing one knee or grabbing the other one, or they weren't sure which one to grab but it seemed like they were may not have really been injured because they. You know, they get down, oh, they're grincing and everything, and they make the call, the referee makes the call, and he gets back up and starts running around again like nothing ever happened. It's like, I'm not sure that was really an injury. But they know it works. Okay? They kind of know it works. And that's immature, okay? That is clearly immature. And maturity is being honest. Maturity has to do with some integrity that comes along with maturity. The little children, what do you have to do? You know what? You don't have to teach them to do what you don't want them to do. They just do that. They'll do what you don't want them to do naturally. You have to teach them not to do what you don't want them to do. And so obedient children are the ones that have graduated from that, where that now they kind of understand, well, for whatever reason, they kind of understand what the game plan is, and they kind of understand, you know, I'm supposed to be doing what mom or what dad says to do. And so then they're more mature. See, he says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves. Okay, don't make yourself to be someone who's like, okay, the Dulce Warrior guy. I won't mention his name again. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. So there was the just fashioning yourself because you wanted something, you had a certain desire for something, and so you just did what got it for you. You did whatever it took to get what you wanted. And he said, hey, don't do that. As obedient children, realize that you're to be submitted to the desires and the purposes of your father or mother. But in this case, obviously, he's talking about the Lord God. So our Heavenly Father, we're to be submitted to the desires and purposes of our Heavenly Father. And not just do everything just for ourselves, just to please self. In verse 15 and verse 16, we find here that we are to allow ourselves to be distinguished from others in our testimony. In other words, our life in this world it's okay that we're distinct from others. It's okay that there's different. We don't try to be different from everybody else. Shouldn't be. We should try to do what the Lord wants us to do, and be at peace with all men. The Scripture says, as much as lies within us, we'll be at peace with all men. But allow ourselves to be distinguished from others in our testimony. Verse 15 and 16 says, but as he which hath called you is holy, he's very distinct, he is very distinguished, he is completely apart from everybody else, okay? As the Lord is holy, so be ye holy in all manner. Holiness is sanctification, or being set apart, being made to look a little bit different. And he's saying, hey, you know what? You don't have to just look like the rest of the world. You don't have to look like everybody else. Things don't have to go with you the way everybody thinks they ought to go with you. It's okay to go through suffering and not be like the rest of the world, complaining at every little call and wanting everything for yourself, but to endure sometimes. He says, hey, it's okay to be holy, to be a little bit distinct, and allow ourselves to be distinguished. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And then we're going to skip verse 17 because we're going to come back to it. But verse 18 says, For as much as you know, you weren't redeemed, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. So you know that you weren't redeemed. The price of my redemption is not corruptible. And that means that it's going to be secure and it's going to last. The price of my redemption was not corruptible. It isn't something that's just going to be burned up. It isn't something that's going to rust or deteriorate. It's going to be something that will last, and it's secure because of the price. The price being the precious, extremely valuable blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That precious treasure of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is the price of my redemption. It's not corruptible. I'm going to have it. I'm going to have it in the end. And so he's saying, hey, we are a redeemed people. The price has been paid for our redemption. So going through suffering, going through difficulties, to know and to remember that we are redeemed, that the Lord has bought us through the blood of Jesus Christ. He has made an atonement for us that we would be right with God. And then our Redeemer, verse 20, who was verily foreordained, the Redeemer, Christ, our Redeemer was specially manifest for us, which resulted in our redemption. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God. We're not going to get into verse 21 yet, but just to identify that this is the one that has caused that we believe in God. It's Christ, who is our Savior, our Redeemer, who has given us this access unto God. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so he's the one who's given, made the access for us unto the Father. So we think about that, and we're looking at this idea of redemption and how that we are this people who have been redeemed, but we're a people. Look at verse 17 then again. If we are calling on the Father and we recognize the Lord as our Father, which we should through redemption, then we should respect him as our Father. We should respect him as such. Verse 17 says, and if ye call on the Father, in other words, You acknowledge him to be your Father, and you're calling upon him, then it says here on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work. He's a judge that's going to judge according to every man's work without respect of persons. He says, if that's the case, who you're calling on, then pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. In other words, the fear here is the fear of a father, not the fear of an enemy, not the fear of somebody who's against you, but the fear of the Father, who has every intention, good intention toward you, and wants to do what is right, and wants to do something that's going to be beneficial for you. And so if we are calling on the Father, then we are to respect him as our Father. And so the respect as the Father who knows what is best for us, to respect him as that Father, so passing his time of our sojourning here in fear, is living this life as a child of God, living the life knowing that he's your Father, and that as such, he loves you more than any other father can love you. He loves you absolutely, and he loves you unconditionally. And as the one that loves you unconditionally, as your Father, he knows what is best for you. He is going to take care of you. in Revelation chapter 5. Think about this, the connection between redemption and being a child of God. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, Scripture says there, Revelation 5 and verse 9, and they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain." Who is it talking about? Who are they talking to? Christ. "For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Christ redeemed us to God by his blood. Through the blood of Christ, we have redemption. As the price of our redemption was his sacrificial shedding of blood. And the result of the end result of it is that we are with God. Is that now we are his. He's redeemed us to God. Look with me to another verse. Is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Ephesians 1. Verses 5 to 7, again, the situation that we're redeemed as children. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, having predestinated us, now this is talking about the Father, because in Ephesians, God the Father is the subject of the book of Ephesians. And as we start from the very beginning of it, and clearly he's talking about the God and Father. And blessed be the God and Father, verse number 3, of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what he's done is, one of the things he's done is having predestinated us unto, verse 5, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, the Father. So he says, he's predestinated us to be adopted by Jesus Christ. By the transaction of Jesus Christ, we're going to be adopted unto the Father. And we're going to have a relationship now with the Father as his sons, according to his children, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted. Christ Jesus made us accepted. The Father made us accepted in the Beloved, in Christ, in whom, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood. Here's the redemption, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So we have this redemption, and it is unto the adoption of children to God. So we've been redeemed, and that redemption brings us into a father-child relationship with God, such that we as his dear children now, as those who are belong to him, then we're to live like dear children, like obedient children. And we are to pass the time of our sojourning here in fear. Not fear of things, not fear of other people, not fear of man, not fear of catastrophes, but the loving respect that we should have for the Lord God. Pass the time of our sojourning, respecting him and knowing, with that respect, knowing he knows what is best for me. He knows what's best. And that is a hard thing sometimes to accept. He knows what is best. To every moment of our lives as God's children, he cares for us. Every moment, there's not a time in our life where we go through a period where God is just kind of ignoring us. Doesn't happen. He loves us. We are his children. We are his dear children. And he cares deeply for us. But he knows what's going to be best for us ultimately. He knows what is going to bring the most good, the most joy, the most fulfillment to our lives ultimately. But we go through times where it doesn't feel like that's the case. Go through times where it just doesn't feel like that's the reality. So Peter is saying to these folk, trust him. He's saying to them, you've been redeemed unto the Father as a child of the Father, and trust him. He knows what's best for you. He cares about you. He's doing what is best for you. And we say, how can that be? Look at my condition when I've lost a loved one. Look at my condition when my whole life seems to be falling apart. Look at my condition when I have health problems that are insurmountable, that are just too much to bear. Look at our condition. Look at the situation. But realize as God's people, it may be hard. It may be difficult. But realize as God's people, hey, we're his children. And he does care about us. He is caring for us even at this moment. And we can trust him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. And we dismiss. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your love, for your care, for the way you love us and the way that you've given your son to die for us, to secure our eternal redemption through his blood. Lord, thank you that you washed us from our sins in the blood, and we just pray that you would bless us as your people. Glory in the things that you've done for us, and help us, Lord, when we go through times of difficulty, to remember who we are, to remember that we are children of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that we're children of the one who is the most benevolent king that ever was. And we just pray that you might bless us, that we might see and might realize and might know the love that you're shedding abroad in us day by day, the love that you have for us. Lord, help us trust it when it doesn't seem that it's real, when it doesn't seem to be there. Lord, help us trust you and know that you care for us and that you are working your will out in our lives. And we'll praise you forever for it. In Jesus' name, amen.